Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and man, what a weekend. We had Astros playoff baseball, ALCS baseball, and we had a Texans win. Where you want to start?
Yeah, I want to start with the Astros. I think that's the most important thing right now. They're in the playoffs.
I agree.
It was a great outing from Fromber. He went out there, and I thought he looked like a really, really good playoff pitcher. He got beat by a solo home run. What it was second? It was two solo home runs, right?
It was Altuve, and it was
no. The second run against Fromber.
No, it was a base hit.
Was it a base hit?
Zunino had the base hit up the middle.
Oh, that's right. That's what
after
it was, yeah.
Fromber made that play and went to first
instead of getting a man to third.
He could have gotten
it. Right
third.
There.
It was just getting off the base.
Golly. I don't know why he did that.
It's a game of inches, but man, oh man, oh man.
It's the little things in a game like that. You had Kyle Tucker hit a shot that turns into a double play with the bases loaded, and they let that weasel off the hook.
And then Yuli just yulied it.
In
every other year of baseball.
Oh, he would have ruined you.
It's a base hit up the middle. But stupid shift.
Yeah.
Has changed the
shift
game.
The shift got him twice with Kyle Tucker's line out. Two times with bases loaded, the shift got him. Analytics beat the Astros. And
ironic, I think.
Well, but Yuli also had he just grounded. Yeah, well, that was the double play. But,
no.
They left 9 hits. They scored 1 run. They hit the ball hard again. I mean, if you want to take something positive from it, they really continued to hit the ball hard and did a great job with that. Yuli was fantastic. But they got out of a couple of jams, in the bullpen. But it was that's one you feel like, man, you really didn't want to let that one get away. Yuli had too good a performance. Blake Taylor was Blake Snell was all over the place.
Yeah.
You let him off the hook. Yep. That should have been a 3-1 lead, and you should have been trying to hang on for a win. And that one upsets me. But, Fromber showed once again, he's got number one stuff right now. He is just fantastic. And next up, Lance McCullers really needs to have a big, big, big outing. Mm. He's got to go deep. He's got to perform well because Charlie Morton is up, and he is not going to be fun to deal with, not based on the last game we saw him pitch.
Mm-hmm.
He had his Charlie Morton, pitches moving all over the place. That little tailing fastball is just wicked. And so the Astros have their hands full today again.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Bregman says the Astros are going to be okay. He said the at-bats were really good, and he's right. I thought Blake Snell, obviously the second at-bat of the game, and they were hitting him hard, and he just weaseled his way out of stuff. And that's Blake Snell. I just picture him in his basement. I ain't playing this year because my mom says I don't have to if I don't want to, and I'm going to play my game, my PlayStation, and I don't want to play. So there. And man, it would have been so good to win game one. But no big deal. It's so much better than playing in that dank, dark, incredibly horrible Tampa Stadium.
Agreed.
Listen, this thing is far, far from over. You got to have a big, and even if they win game two, they're just holding serve on home field. And you know what? I think Urquidy, I would have loved to have Urquidy in this situation. I want Urquidy, big, strong Urquidy, in a game two and game six if need be. But we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. You got Javier that can come and bail him out. It's going to be awfully difficult to hit Charlie Morton, but you know him. Strami knows him. Maybe you can pick something up off of him. And you know, you got to scratch and claw in any way, shape, or form. I thought it was good baseball last night. I did. I thought it was a good baseball game.
Yeah, it was. It was a good game. You had, you know, I mean, from a personal standpoint, you don't like it that they left people on base, but the defense, even when Carlos, what about when Carlos ranged that deep into the hole and still almost threw the guy out? That was unbelievable. But it was, I thought the pitchers, you know, Blake Snell did do a good job of getting out of it. He battled. The announcers were talking about the fact that he, despite not having his best stuff, and he really, this has not been a great season for him. He kept fighting and battling, didn't give in, would go and had high pitch count and still went up over 100 pitches, but still ended up getting out of it. And the Astros had their chances, and they came up short. But you had Machete with a perfect throw to third on a stolen base attempted. You had George Springer get thrown out on and then, you know, he got killer. Thrown out. But my wife said, I just heard yell, why is he trying to steal? I said, because I was in the other room getting my hamburger. I said, who was it? She said, Springer. I'm like, Springer's got the worst stolen base percentage. And I said, well, it's probably hit and run. And as soon as Tuve got a hit, she's like, see?
No,
I said, well, that's why they were
well,
doing
and
it
especially
too.
His record against Snell. I mean, you got to know that if you're George Springer. Just not being on base with Altuve up with the extra base hits, with the home runs he hits off Snell. I mean, he owns Snell, and for him to that's a bad mistake. This is the worst base running team maybe ever. Maybe ever. They make mistake after mistake after mistake in base running. So that was a mistake. I know you're trying to get in scoring position. You're in scoring position when Altuve's up at the plate against Blake Snell. He owns him. So don't do that. Man, that's so important. Every little thing is so important. And sure enough, Altuve comes up with a hit. And sure enough, you waste an opportunity. That is just a killer. And then, you know, and then the play at first base was a really, really nice play. They put Brasso over there, and they make a nice play when it could that easily, though. You've seen so many times those hoppers to first base that you're able to, pitcher can't get over, or the first baseman can't get the ball to him. It was a lot of good baseball, well-played game, except on the Astros' part in some situations. But, yeah, that snap throw, Maldonado throwing him out at third, holy crap. You want to talk about a whip. Dude can just get it. So that was a lot of fun. And in the meantime, you know, Deshaun was throwing it around the yard too. I mean, some good, some not so good.
All over the yard.
He was at times really good, and then at other times not so good.
Just sporadic bouts of inconsistency. And the ball placement, I think one of the things we saw yesterday is that you'll get some of the throws he missed that he really should have hit. But I think one of the things that came to mind for me is that he's been so used to having DeAndre Hopkins there to win throws. He had three passes batted down, and two on crossing routes and one on a slant to Will Fuller. You know, he's just going to have to get used to throwing out in front of the runner. He can't just throw to the middle of the frame or slightly behind the middle of the frame. That allows guys to make plays.
And even Fell's touchdown, he had to spin around and catch it.
Break stride.
But he was able to. It was so wide open.
But those other ones they turn into incompletions where those guys aren't ball winners. Like they're not gonna win all. Their contested catch percentage is going to be way lower than D-Hop's was. So you've got to be better with ball placement. And that's something Deshaun's going to have to really get used to, is throwing the ball out in front of runners and giving them a chance to get their hands on the ball and keeping the defender out of it. And that's going to be on him. That's not coaching. It's not Bill O'Brien. That's Deshaun. Deshaun, that's a quarterback skill, leading the wide receivers. And we're in, you know, year four now. This needs to start happening. You got to start leading receivers. You got to start being more consistent. You can't throw it at guys' feet, miss touchdowns in the end zone. It was an issue for him yesterday. He missed some really easy throws. With that said, he was smiling yesterday. The team looked like they were way happier. You're obviously way happier when you're winning. There's no question about that. But we've just heard way too much publicly and behind the scenes. This team is definitely going to have more life. I don't know that they win more than five games. I don't think they look very good. But I can tell you one thing. They're going to enjoy playing football, practicing, and going out on Sundays and playing now more than they did under Bill O'Brien. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Oh, the whole building is. The whole building is. There's a giant cloud that's lifted over it. There's still a cloud that's hovering over it, but it's a lot sunnier than it was. You saw JJ's picture. The sun was shining into NRG Stadium.
Saw that, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you saw that. You also saw very sporadic. It didn't look like 13,000, even close to 13,000 people there in the stadium.
That was the announced crowd.
Yeah.
Or I think that was the announced crowd.
Was it?
12,741 or 13,471, something like that.
Was it? Was it?
Yeah. I mean, they're all over the place.
It wasn't even close.
Did you see
wasn't even close to a quarter. You're telling me one every four seats was taken?
Well, that's not a quarter. 13,000 is not a quarter. 52,000 is not the – it's way less than a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
13,000 is only
well,
about –
well, but yeah. I thought
it's only about 15%.
I thought they said – yeah, but they were – you're right. It was 13.
Yeah, they just had it. They just had a lower amount. Yeah. So I think there's probably 13 there. But in such a big stadium, it's hard to tell. Maybe there weren't. I don't know. Did you see where they had – I think you have to sit in your seat, period. You can't switch. Did you see where they had Gardner Minshew's dad?
Yeah, he was up in the club.
Club?
Yeah.
No, he was upper deck.
Oh.
He was way in the upper
was
deck.
He?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't. I thought he was like in the third.
No,
third.
He was way in the upper deck. I'm like, oh, and they said, look where Gardner Minshew's dad is. Oh. I'm just thinking, Mr. Minshew.
Mr.
Minshew.
You've
got to be able to. But I think they're really hardcore about where you have to sit. Because all I could think of was, man, I don't want to be on TV, but. Apparently, hey, he has some kind of record streak. He's tried to keep alive.
Yeah, he's only missed three games, I guess, since he started playing football or whatever.
Yeah.
And
getting back to high school.
And well, yeah, and one of them was Tennessee when they wouldn't let anybody in there.
Yeah.
So he's going to go. He's definitely going to go wherever he is. But, you know, yeah, they had – look, they scored 30 points, dude. You know last time they scored 30 points? They were on a run for 25 or less points forever. This is unbelievable, and they didn't even play that well offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense coming up with stops when the offense gives them the ball deep in their own territory. How about that? Coming up with that fourth down stop, JJ got a fumble recovery out of it, but it didn't matter. He wasn't going to get the first down anyway. So it was a turnover, but it really wasn't. It was a turnover on downs. But man, they just it seems like the whole the weight of the world is lifting off.
They like playing Jacksonville, too. They've gotten to where they like playing Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's giving them some fits.
Well, the first game last year, they beat the snot out of them in London last year.
Yeah.
So the second game, it wasn't close. This game, it wasn't really that close. It didn't feel like it was that close. I guess after into the second half, it wasn't. So the Texans handled them this year. They handled them in London. They had, obviously, they did give them fits last year early in the season, but they don't seem too bothered by Gardner Minshew, and Gardner didn't look very good either, leaving throws short. It was not great for Gardner. David Johnson, oh my God, it is just like, can somebody do something to get this guy through the line of scrimmage? He is just so slow through the line of scrimmage. I don't know what they see in him that they have to give him the carries instead of Duke Johnson more carries. Get somebody in there with a little bit more burst. It is just a grind. Getting him. Oh, I know they are, but it's just really slow motion. It's so much worse than it was with Hyde. It's just like Hyde would hit the hole. David Johnson just has nothing left from a speed standpoint, a burst standpoint, just nothing.
7-6 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. A lot to talk. I mean, we've got a ton to talk about this morning, and anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to get in.
And, you know, let's hit on what you should be doing this fall. And the free delivery and assembly is going on through October 31st on the fall grill sale. And the Traeger Next Gen, their next generation 2.0 is available right now for you to check out. It is unbelievable in terms of, I just recommended to a buddy of mine in Dallas who I used to do some NFL Network stuff with. And he's like, Lance, what do you think about the Traeger? I said, I think the Traeger's incredible. I think Pits and Spits is incredible. And I said, you need to get it from my guys here because they'll ship it up there to you, and you can get it. This is true. You can get it cheaper from Texas Star Grill Shop than any other big box store out there. I promise you that. The fall sale takes the prices even lower. This is your chance to make great barbecue every single time out, whether you're getting a gas grill, a wood pellet grill, or if you're looking for a wood-burning grill like the Kamado Joe or the Big Green Egg. And they have all of the amenities you could want, from rib racks to pizza stones and rubs, marinades, the meat thermometers that plug directly into the wood pellet grills that tell you the exact temperature so that you never overcook your food. This is your one-stop shop, TexasStarGrillShop.com. Three locations, one in Spring, one in Katy, and one right here in Houston, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 717 ESPN 97.5, 73780-3776, 73780-3776. Del, I know you did. Well, what? How did you do it? How'd you do it yesterday with the Lakers on? And the Astros on?
There's never been a day like this, right? We had NBA Finals Game 7. We had an Astros playoff.
Not Game 7. Game 6.
I mean, elimination game. Yeah. You had an elimination game to win a championship. You had baseball playoffs, which they never interconnect.
And you have NFL.
And then you had Sunday Night Football, which ended up being like, ooh.
What a game.
I thought Seattle was sleepwalking through it at first. Minnesota, fresh off the heels of the Texans victory. They came out ready to play.
Yeah. No. And came up short because Kirk Cousins got cursed. Kirk Cousins.
You were able to check out of the Heat game in relatively quick order.
How did I do it? Midway through the second quarter, I was watching House's Haunting of Bly Manor on Netflix. That's what I did for the entire night. I'm not into snuff films, so I'm not going to watch an entire thing.
That's what that was.
I'm not going to watch the entire thing. I'm not going to sit through a Lakers coronation. Why would I do that?
Yeah. And, hey, LeBron wants his respect, okay?
If you weren't aware, everyone, the Lakers don't get any respect.
None.
And LeBron doesn't get any either. Rob Pelinka needs his.
Yes.
If you weren't aware.
If you don't know, the Lakers don't get it, and LeBron doesn't get any respect.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Let's listen to how dumb it sounded.
That means a lot to represent this franchise. Genie. I told Jeannie when I came here that I was going to put this franchise back in a position where it belongs. Her late great father did it for so many years, and she just, you know, took it on after that. And for me to be a part of such a historical franchise is an unbelievable feeling, not only for myself, but for my teammates, for the organization, for the coaches, for the trainers, everybody that's here. We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization want their respect. Laker Nation want their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
The victim. LeBron, the victim of,
he is. Of
no respect, is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
He doesn't get any respect.
He's not. You're up against.
Put some respect on him.
That's just absolutely preposterous. entire talk shows are built around LeBron James. If he's just said he wants his respect from people who think Jordan's the best, you're never going to get it. You're just not going to get it. I think LeBron is the second best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting him ahead of Wilt. I'm putting him ahead of Dream. I'm putting him ahead of Kareem. I'm putting him number two all time. I know a lot of NBA guys like to say he's like fifth or sixth, but you can't get away from NBA Finals all the time. You can't get away from his productivity. I don't think anyone has been this consistently great for this long in an NBA career. You just don't see now. You do have to say, okay, so the 3 or 4 years he might have been in college like the other guys were, like many guys. Dream was there 3 years, for example. Jordan was there 3 years. He was able to make his way in the pros already. So it's like he had a 3-year head start. But still, I mean, look at LeBron. He's 35, I think, going to be 36, and he's still playing like this. This is unheard of. He doesn't break down. He's a physical specimen. He's up there with Karl Malone as a great physical specimen in all time in NBA history. Say he doesn't get respect, it just kind of gets to the fact that I think LeBron likes to have drama. I really do. Yeah. He likes to have some
really?
Kind of, so in his mind he doesn't have respect and he needs the drama in his life, and it's ridiculous. He gets plenty of respect. The Lakers get, where's this coming from?
No.
Is it coming from people on social media saying stuff on Twitter?
No, because like, everyone the Lakers doesn't feel say... put upon. The Laker fan base, and I guess the Lakers themselves feel put upon because, you know, God forbid anyone see the Clippers as the favorite throughout the year. And you know.
That might have been it.
The Lakers have not been a championship-level team for almost a decade. I think it was a decade, I think. So, now you must respect us. Don't forget who we are. Guys, you weren't good for 10 years. It's okay. It's okay. People go through slumps, and now you're back, and no one thought to themselves, man, LeBron and AD, I don't think that's a good basketball team. I'm not sure about them.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think he might have been talking to a lot of Laker fans, too, when they, you know, when he got there. I'm sorry, this is Kobe. See, he wasn't accepted by a lot of Laker fans. A lot of Laker fans were like, you ain't Kobe. You ain't Magic.
Some of that might have been it.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of that might have been. That might be some of it, that the stuff he took.
But then
last
the year. Michael thing. All right, it was the summer of Michael with the Last Dance, and you know, and he took a back seat the whole summer, and now he wants his due because he's 4-6 in the NBA Finals, and so you know he wants his due. He got his fourth title, and good for him. You know what? He's an unbelievable player, and yeah, I agree with you. He probably, I don't know. There are some that would argue. You remember? Well, Murph would tell you, hey, Wilt's the best ever. Okay, I don't want to hear anything about Michael Jordan or any of them.
I know. Do you know I see pictures of Murph? You know where he is?
Yeah.
He's in China. He teaches English in China.
Really?
Plays basketball. Murph, oh, yeah. Murph is all rocked up, and he goes. He had a really scary threat about when COVID had hit there. He is immersed in the culture in China. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I read. I every once in a while, he'll pop up on Facebook. I'll show you some pictures during the during the break. But yeah, Michael Murphy used to write for was a poster Chronicle. It was Chronicle.
Yeah.
He used to be a big Wilt guy. There's a chance that Wilt's the greatest of all time. There's a chance Kareem is. I really think Dream might be the greatest big man of all time. But, you know, it's whatever. LeBron is right there with Jordan. He gets all the respect in the world. That's just a ridiculous thing. I do think Dell makes a good point. Probably some of that is, and you do too, probably some of that is the Clippers. People talk about the Clippers late in the year. Some of that's probably the Kobe stuff from yep. last year. They were chanting Kobe's name in the it was very socially distanced. Everyone was wearing masks at the celebration at Staples Center. Just kidding, nobody was. It was packed. Expect an uptick in LA for COVID because the streets were flooded with fans celebrating the championship. Probably what happened in Houston too, but
oh yeah, absolutely would have
not
happened.
Too many masks yesterday.
No, it absolutely would have happened when the Astros win it all. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to be in the streets on Richmond once again. Isn't it where we go? We don't go there anymore. We used to go there for Rockets championships. We used to. What happened to Richmond? I don't. What the hell happened to Richmond?
There's a video of all the fans going Kobe, Kobe, Kobe. They're celebrating and. And the comment right below it is COVID, COVID, COVID. Not COVID, COVID, COVID chance. It's Kobe.
It's Kobe. 713-780-3776. What a day. You got some thoughts? 713-780-3776. Coop is here. Let's get him in on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What's up, Coop?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good, good. Now, I just wanted to talk about the LeBron deal. I'm a huge LeBron guy. I was born in 92, so I wasn't really, you know, around to see the MJ thing. But I think what it is, it's kind of like the presidential debate. Everyone already has their mind made up, and there's nothing that either side can do to change that.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I think that LeBron is right in talking about his respect, because when he got to L.A., you know, people are saying, oh, he's just going there to start his movie career. There was a mural painted of him, and it was like, he'll never be our king, you know? So I think that when you've been the greatest for that long and you surpass everyone's expectations, I think that you can be a little annoyed by getting pushed to the side. And if you remember, at the beginning of the year, the Clippers were supposed to be the favorites. And I'm sure LeBron was looking at it like, the Clippers that have done nothing ever, they're supposed to be the favorite over the guy that brought the worst NBA franchise to a championship. So, I mean, me as a lifetime LeBron fan, I'm ecstatic, and I see exactly what he's talking about.
Yep, yep. No, absolutely.
I will say this. It wasn't the Clippers. It was Kawhi, you know, the guy who had won a finals MVP,
yeah,
who had ended LeBron's dynasty or potential dynasty in Miami. It wasn't, oh, the Clippers are around. It was Kawhi was there, and he had just come off a title. What Coop said while he was talking, something, he's not unique in this regard, but it struck me. I don't think he's in that generation, I guess, where you follow guys around, and if he, no matter where that guy plays, he's going to be a fan of that guy and a fan of the team he's playing for. Is that just I was born in the 80s, and I couldn't even imagine, you know, Dwayne Wade's he was my favorite player. He's a Bull now, so I'm just going to root for the Bulls. Did LeBron make that flip? When did that start to happen where guys would follow the player
I do think it was LeBron, because I don't remember it. First of all, superstars didn't change teams that much until the end of their career. One of the first guys, or unless they were traded, like,
well,
Charles
do you
Barkley
think it
was.
Happened with Garnett?
I don't remember the KG.
Did Wolves,
like, you didn't
fans
have KG fans.
Celtics fans?
Huh?
Did
they Wolf, became Celtics?
Did they, I don't think Wolves.
Yeah,
no, I don't think
do.
Minnesota yeah. Timberwolves fans became Celtic fans.
Isn't it hard for everybody to just become, just because LeBron went there, become a Laker fan? Either you're a Laker fan or you hate the Lakers.
No. LeBron fans cheer for. LeBron's the first guy that I remember. There might have been others had it happened in the past, but not really. Like, we were so provincial. You're a Houston. Like, you were a Chicago fan growing up. I was a Houston fan. That's just how it is. And then you had to suck it up and live and die with your team. And you know, if you're miserable, you're miserable. Ask Cleveland fans. But LeBron is the first one I saw that where you had LeBron fans who would openly ditch. They would ditch whoever they were, like the Cleveland, LeBron with Cleveland. They were never Cleveland fans. They wanted to be LeBron fans. And it's probably because he was a dominant. You have people who want to be, like, I remember there were a ton of Mike Tyson fans. That wasn't I was a big Mike Tyson
fan. He's not on a team.
No, but there were people who were so personally devastated because Mike Tyson was a symbol of, you know, invincibility. And when that was stripped, it was like, and so I think people like cheering for LeBron because it's easier. This is the best player. He's the best player in the NBA. It's easy for them to follow him around. I don't think there has been another one where they followed a player. He was the first. Now, I think there's more than that now. I think LeBron was the first, but I think there's a lot of guys that when and if they move teams, people will
Kawhi.
Just get the new jersey with the other team.
I don't think
Kawhi is a beloved guy, though.
No.
He didn't have the charisma.
Like, even the Michael, people love Michael, but and people became Bulls fans, but no one became a Wizards fan.
Nobody
Michael
became
Jordan
a Wizards fan.
Wizards.
No. John was a huge Wizards fan.
Yeah. Oh,
he loves Michael.
Yeah,
he
loved
no,
Michael
actually,
and he said Wizards.
Honestly, I was a huge Mike fan and went to the Wizards. Come on, Mike.
Yeah, it was
Mike,
just like Dream going Stop. To... I didn't become a Toronto Raptors fan when Dream went there. But that's also the end of their careers. LeBron was in his prime. That's the big difference. We just didn't see that other than Charles Barkley. Let's talk about CoreMed Solutions. Let's talk about your heart. So I visited with a friend yesterday who I haven't seen for about 7 months. He had been in Belize, and he had COVID for he tested positive for 7 straight weeks. Severe, severe issues, problems breathing, 104 fever for 15 straight days. He couldn't speak for like 3 weeks. Just really, really bad. And I told him yesterday for the first time about CoreMed Solutions, because I want him to know that while they're in town, they can go for just $200 and go get an echocardiogram and find out if they have, he and his wife have myocarditis or anything that's happened because of the virus. Because this is happening with people, young and old, asymptomatic, mild symptoms, heavy viral load symptoms, whatever the case may be. They want to make sure that if you've had COVID or you think you've been exposed to it, you might want to go check up on your heart health. Now, to be honest with you, you need to check up on your heart health from the time you're young, because there are going to be hereditary issues with some people's heart, and then some will develop over time. And if you find out how your heart is, you can get treated and you can get back on the road to recovery. It's not like a car where you get an engine light that comes on and you know something's wrong. With heart issues, it happens, and sometimes it's too late. So get checked out. CoreMedSolutions.com. They can even take it to your workplace and check out an entire business just like they did with UPS. CoreMedSolutions.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Great. We had a lot of fun today. We had a lot of fun, you know, offense, defense, special teams, everybody pitching in. Whenever something went wrong, the other group was ready to step up and make a play to make it right. Nobody hung their heads. Everybody was ready to roll. Had great energy. I thought the fans were great. Had a great vibe from the fans. And it was just a lot of fun. And for Romeo, seeing his dance moves in the locker room after the game were a real treat. So that was enjoyable.
Listen, I think we were nitpicking just a little. I know it was the Jags. And I guess I shouldn't put the qualifier on there. But Deshaun threw for 359. Brandon Cooks. I mean, it was exactly what we had hoped and thought the offense would look like. I know he missed some throws. David Johnson, 17 carries for 96 yards, 5.6 per carry. You'll take that all day. Cooks had 8 catches. Fuller had 4. Fells, Cobb had 6 catches. Fells had 2 and a touchdown.
He spread it out.
He spread it around. They were running slants. They were, you know.
A lot more quick game.
A lot more.
Like a lot more. Now,
this
there
is what the offense was supposed to look like. 129 yards rushing, 359 in the air. Man, that's.
Oh, wait a minute. How much did James Robinson end up with? They stopped their 100 rush streak, didn't they? He didn't get to 100.
Yes. No, they had 75 yards.
Oh, lockdown.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien's gone. Nice they job. Can stop the run.
They did a nice job.
Bill O'Brien's gone. They can stop the run now.
They can run and stop the run.
Yeah.
Worst running the ball and worst stopping the run.
Hey, I want to tell you, this came to my mind yesterday. I want to make sure that you guys know this. There are going to be some of you who just still feel the need to cheer against the I know it feels instinctive for you, like, but you know Bill O'Brien's not there, and then you say, well, I just want to cheer against Jack Easterby. Okay. Just know that you're on the same side as Bill O'Brien. Because I can promise you, Bill O'Brien, like all coaches who get fired, want the team to lose as many games as possible. The ones who say that they don't are lying. I have never met a coach who wants a team to do well after he's been fired. Never in my life. Bill O'Brien absolutely wants the Texans to lose out. He wants nothing but bad things for the Texans. More than likely. Because that's what all coaches who get fired want. So if you're cheering against them and you're a Texans fan, A, there are no draft picks, so don't worry. It's not going to help. And B, Bill, yeah, they go to Dell. But and B, now he'll be cheering against the Texans. But B, you'll be 100% on team Bill O'Brien.
Is this true? John McClain tweeted out, Bill O'Brien might as well be blamed for traffic congestion, road work, humidity, mosquitoes, the way he's blamed for everything in Houston. Sometimes we forget the Texans have other coaches and a lot of players not doing their jobs well either.
Yeah, that's true. Of course it's true.
Yeah, it's true, but
his biggest problem was he got to be not a leader of men. He was what he was showing, he was making guys miserable. He's making everyone miserable.
Yeah. But here's the deal, is it's so funny. Well, they look at how they played without Bill O'Brien there. Well, guess what they did about every year? They started slowly and then they played their ass off after that with Bill O'Brien. So now, without Bill O'Brien, well, you see how good. Look at the offense.
And Jacksonville's not a very good team.
No, Jacksonville's not a very good team. and they should have won the game. Although untethering the defense, untethering Anthony Weaver and Tim Kelly, maybe it will bring some big results for the team. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not blaming Bill O'Brien for everything. I blame Bill O'Brien for me not liking the team. I blame him for that. I blame Bill O'Brien for being an a-hole to people in that building. I blame Bill O'Brien for not just bullying everybody and being a dictator over there and making the worst big general manager dictator. Moves ever.
He was a big time dictator.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
dictator, big time.
So I mean, what are you like? Is sixth grade called?
You know that they word want is,
their dictator no, back.
That word is dictator. Yeah. I don't know why you're emphasizing the first syllable so much. It's
no,
just,
like
it's dictator.
Dictator. Like
no.
He is a big-time superstar.
It's dictator, not
tater.
No, stop pausing. Dictator. No.
I'm doing it for emphasis. That's how big a dictator
he's
is.
He's a big dictator. Is that what?
He is a big-time dictator.
See, why are you pausing? You don't have to
big-time
pause.
Big-time dictator. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know one time?
Do you know what a dictator is?
One yes. time for...
When you do it slower, it's emphasis. Just like when John... tries to tell people, like, go over there, where he yells instead of if they don't know his language.
No.
And then today is the day that his people killed off an entire nation. Day of rage in Portland. His people, Columbus.
Oh, stop.
We have to celebrate your genocidal hero.
Rest in peace, Portland. One time I went for Halloween, I tied a potato on my belt, on the front of my belt.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. And I went as a dictator. Yeah.
Totally believe it. I don't think it's a lie.
I did. Yeah.
That's a
good Halloween.
True.
If you don't want to do anything for Halloween, I was in college.
I thought you were going to get candy like as a 17-year-old.
No.
Oh, you got some candy.
No.
You got a
Halloween party at college.
Johnny, what's your costume? It's this, Ma. A potato hanging off the belt.
Ma, think about it, Ma.
I'm Castro.
I'm a dictator. Johnny, you're funny, Johnny.
Johnny, why out?
Come
give me
over here. I'm going to give you such a smack saying the dictator like with the potato. We're going to have those potatoes. I was going to eat that potato, and it's rubbing on your gavuji.
Whatever the Italian word.
You're rubbing it all up on your gafangul? Come on!
You were rubbing it on your gavuchi?
Such a smack!
We're going to eat that, Johnny.
You're eating that potato, Johnny.
We don't waste potatoes around here, Johnny.
You're going to eat your own dictator, Johnny. Put some gravy on it. It'll go with the rest of what you put all over
Ooh.
It.
No. A darker gravy. Now, that's it. That's all. That's all. Because this conversation is
done. Yeah, no.
What's
sure.
wrong with you? What
so, like, let's get back to Halloween
Portland.
Costumes.
Rest in peace.
Rest in power, Portland. It's the National Day of Rage. They have it every year where it's Indigenous People's Day, so they just tear the ass out of their whole city again.
What is wrong with them up here in Seattle and Portland?
Lincoln got a statue torn down. Roosevelt, however you want to pronounce
it. FDR?
Yeah, he got one torn down, too.
FDR.
Was it Teddy or FDR?
I don't know.
I just know Roosevelt. Just said Roosevelt. One of them did.
Do they have a George Halas statue up there?
I don't know why they would in Chicago.
No?
No, I don't think so. I can't think of any musicians.
And Adolph Rupp? Do they have any Adolph Rupp?
They tore down Kiki Vandeway. Tore his statue down.
Really? Why?
Kiki Vandeway got torn down.
Did Kiki Vandeway have a
Dr.
statue?
Jack Ramsey got torn down.
What?
Yep.
Wow. Walton?
Yep. Bill Walton got... No, Bill Walton.
No, Bill Walton. I don't even turn it down. No.
They tore down a Jerome Kersey, rest in power.
Whoa, no. Why would they turn... Mm-hmm. Why would they...
Darnell Valentine got torn down.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Terry Porter?
No, he's up.
He's up? Yeah. Good. That's good. Good for him. All right. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to
get in. Who's the guy who had the bad knees that they drafted that the Rockets liked a lot?
Brandon Roy.
What's that?
Brandon Roy.
Yeah, Brandon Roy.
He was a good player.
They tore down Brandon Roy.
He was a good player.
Did I tell you when I was in Portland, they had they have a park there. It's a really nice little park. And on this girl's head, the Junie B. Jones, whoever, it's some famous child author, and they have statues there. And one of them had a Nazi swastika painted on the head Like, I took pictures of it. I'm like, well, this isn't good for the kids' park.
Why would you go to war-torn Portland ever?
No, this is, I didn't know.
Oh.
This is when I didn't know how bad it was.
It's.
I didn't know how bad it was. Well, there weren't clashes in the streets when we were there. We went to Vancouver, then Seattle.
Except between
the
homeless.
Well, Portland used to be really awesome. Like, it was really, really awesome. When I was there, 11, 12, and 13. 17, 18, not so much.
We went there with the soccer team with the Dynamo one time.
When was that?
And I forget.
That was a while back. You traveled?
Yeah. They brought us because we were the station here.
So they flew us
up to Portland to go watch a game. It was awesome. And there was, I didn't see one homeless fight. I didn't see any.
No, it used
protests.
To be, yeah, really, really
yeah,
awesome.
Well,
and then
beautiful
they changed
city.
A lot.
Beautiful
of,
city.
It really was down by the river. And then they changed a lot of laws. They're like, just come here and camp out on the street.
Yeah, just whatever.
And then all
turn
of a
into
sudden,
Austin.
I broke out. Well, Austin's kind of flipped.
Speaking of Austin, what about that game?
Oh, my gosh.
How'd your wife take it? I was going to. But then I know you would have said, hey, John wants to know how you are. And then she would never talk to me again.
No, she was not. Everyone kept saying, video, we need video. Because I had one from like 3 years ago. And she went and watched a game with her and the kids watched a game with her dad. I said, I'm not going. I've got to watch all these games. I wanted to watch A&M. So yeah. I was recording North Carolina, Virginia Tech. I watched A&M. I watched every play of A&M. And and in Florida, and I watch every play of Texas and Oklahoma, every play of both of them. And so people ask how she was. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch it with her, but I can't tell you this. Why in the world do you not go for two? I thought they should have gone for
two after
the touchdown that had a chance to tie it up. To me, you have momentum. You have one play. Your offense is not going to be able to get into a duel against Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That's the time where you go for two. Then you had another chance to go for two, and you blew that one. You kept kicking. I just thought that was and that's not hindsight. I thought it at the time. Do not get into this give and take with Oklahoma. You're going to end up coming up short on that.
All right, we'll talk about that and all of college football on the other side. 744 ESPN 97.5. But first, let's talk about Lance Loken and the Loken Group and what a great group it is. And I'm telling you, if you're going to buy or sell a home, how about especially selling your home? Because this is a seller's market right now. There's so many people out there that want to buy for whatever reason. This is just unbelievable. And, you know, there's a couple, Melinda and Richard, they just wanted to spend, you know, their time on Lake Conroe. Well, that within just 7 days, the Loken Group helped get them 16 showings, 7 offers, and they sold their home for 7% over list price. People, that is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. If you ever sold your home and you get over your initial list price, most of the time, homes, you have to bring down your price because you are overvaluing it. Well, the Loken Group is going to come in there, and they're going to give you a hand. Oh, by the way, they'll also give you an immediate cash offer so that you don't even have to do any of the rigmarole. And to achieve top dollar for your home, you need an agent who could create an auction-like effect with buyers competing for your home and driving up the price. And this happens every single day with the Loken Group because that's what they have. They have more buyers to choose. They're the number one Keller Williams Platinum Group in the country, and the number two in the world, the LokenGroup.com, LokenGroup.com. You're just going to like these people. I'm telling you, you are just going to like dealing with them, and you're going to love when you get the most you can for your house. 281-861-4624 or the LokenGroup.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, man, did you see all the changes in the NFL schedule? Broncos and Patriots game played week 6 on Sunday, October 18th at 1 p.m. Denver Broncos at New England, the NFL announced, has been changed. Kansas City at Buffalo is not going to play. No Thursday game this week because Buffalo's playing tomorrow night. Instead, that game is moved to Monday. The Jets at Miami games moves from week 10 to week 6. I mean, there is change after change after change for the NFL schedule. I guess you just say, well, you got a Tuesday night game this week, so you know, why do you need a Thursday night game, I guess?
Yep.
You got Tennessee and Buffalo going at it on tomorrow night. No Thursday night game. We got Astros anyway. Why is it that we can't get game 3 scheduled? Why is it that the league can't decide who they want in primetime? The Dodgers Braves game or the Astros Tampa? I'm pretty sure Tampa and the Astros are going to get all the afternoon times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
They might give them one night game. I mean, Dodgers are on West Coast anyway. They're going to get night games.
They're yeah.
From a television
but,
standpoint.
Yeah, how about it? They're playing in San Diego, and they're going to get the early game, and the game in the central market is going to get the late.
But that's probably how it's going to work.
That's probably how it's going to work. The Dodgers and Atlanta are two bigger markets. Well, Houston's a bigger market than Atlanta. But
I think Houston will watch the Astros more than Atlanta will watch the Braves. Like, yes. The Houston market's going to be bigger than Atlanta, TV-wise. Yes. But it goes L.A. first with the Dodgers and then Houston. Tampa's a distant fourth.
Oh, my gosh. If it were now, the Astros are going to draw some eyes because people want to see them. People want to see them lose.
Yes, and that's why they deserve some afternoon stuff. Like yesterday was one of those things where people could rejoice. It would have been so good if they would have got if Altuve could have come through with another base knock and tied the game up.
Yeah,
and then they could have beat the haters in the 11th inning, 10th or 11th inning, but. That one's going to hurt, man. Leaving men on base. And what sucks is Yuli had a pretty good shot up the middle, but the shift got the double play. But the first one was Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
They had Blake Snell on the ropes. I mean, they had him on the ropes. And Tucker had a good shot that was just right at the guy. It was just right at him.
He still had two more hits. I mean,
yeah.
Tucker's really, really turned into.
I mean, the guys hit the ball. They hit the ball hard. They hit the ball hard. They got good bat on the ball.
He went from being. You know, globbed into the same grouping as Forrest Whitley to one of your best hitters on your team.
He's turned into a much more professional, confident hitter.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the best things that come out of this season. The two best things to me are Fromber and Kyle Tucker. Because Tucker is showing you he's got pop, he looks confident, and Fromber's got a confidence He found the strike zone. He mastered his curveball. Strami did a brilliant job with him, I guess, because Fromber last year was like, ugh. And he had so many walks the last 2 years. Now, he's got great control. He works. He just stays at the bottom of that zone.
I love when he flips the ball in the air, you know, as he's walking back to the mound. He's just, I mean, he's got such great command right now.
He really does.
He's confident. I wonder if it's all he saw a psychiatrist. And he got a different mindset.
Probably
and now he's just up.
I'm sure Fromber worked on, I'm sure Strom worked on grip and some things like that because his breaking pitch is one of the nastiest in the big leagues now. I mean, he's down and in on righties all day long. He clearly, out of his hand, he is able to fool guys that it's, and he doesn't even work the top of the zone with his fastball that much.
And he brings that thing in.
He just
that
flips
big
it.
Lollipop Boom. Curve that just hits the. He's Margot. Got a couple, Margot yeah. was taken off the first
Let
base.
Let me tell you something.
Hey, get back to the plate.
Manny the moron behind the plate missed some back. He was throwing backdoor curves that were strikes. Yeah. They were inside the zone. And I think the guys made a pretty good point. When Maldonado's in the middle or inner portion, and he has to reach out there, it fools the ump because they were strikes.
It absolutely
he was does. Trying to eat up on right-handers.
There was one
backdoor curve.
There was one that was strike three, but Maldonado jumped for it.
Yeah,
and you can't
Sometimes
as a catcher.
Maldonado
you've got to be so
stupid stuff like that.
You got to be so
He's
quiet.
Not as quiet as he needs
nope,
to be.
No, nope. 750 ESPN 97.5. We said we would talk a little college football here in this segment. Let's talk Tom Herman. And Steve asks, is Tom Herman's seat getting warm? And I would have to say that the answer is yes. I know that Texas had a lot of high hopes. This is supposed to be a good football team. This is supposed to be where Tom Herman's guys are actually cashing in. They're cashing in on these recruiting classes. They've got a 12th-year quarterback. They've got everything that should be in place for a good football season, and they're bad. They're just a bad football team.
This is a big concern. You know, a lot of those guys in the secondary were 4 and 5 stars. That was a team where, you know, Spencer Rattler, he just played with low football IQ. He makes so many mistakes. Texas wouldn't even be in that game if it was for Spencer Rattler. Late in the game, on third down, I don't know if that was an RPO. If you're Lincoln Riley, you got to call it just a straight handoff.
Dude's also got to catch the ball, too, though. I mean, it's right in his hands, and he drops
it. Right, but he made some really bad – he made a bad to Overshown, the interception there that he had in the first half. And then the second half, I mean, at the end of that game, you run the ball and you eat up 40 seconds and you leave Texas very little time. And that was just – that was dumb. If that was an RPO where he had the option to pass, then that's on Lincoln Riley for even giving Rattler the option to pass. Do you watch QB1, Dell?
No.
I heard yesterday from someone who watches QB1 that Spencer Rattler is one of the least likable people you'll ever see. Because QB1, if you don't know, it follows these high school quarterbacks. And she told me he is so unbelievably entitled in this show. I haven't seen it, so I don't
really.
I don't know. But he got benched. I thought it was an injury thing to his arm, but he actually got benched for turnovers in the first half. And then they brought him back in the second half, and he played much better. But Texas losing that one, this should be 3 straight losses for Texas. I think Tom Herman has really got to pull it out of the fire. And Texas has a little issue with maybe some culture there in terms of there's Longhorn fans who are not happy about that Sam Ellinger is the only one who stays for they have a picture of it, and it turned into a thing. I don't even know if you know about it. But in the Longhorn community, it turned into a thing about Sam Ellinger being the only one staying for Eyes of Texas. Every other player went inside, and he was the only one after the loss to stay out there. So I'm not sure that whole team is all on the same page, or if they're maybe on the same page with Herman. So it's going to be interesting to see. After all these high hopes Texas had, now they've lost 2 straight, and it should be 3 straight. They really haven't played good football, consistent football, since UTEP. And we're 4 games in. On the flip side, you look at Texas A&M, and, man, I mean, Florida is a juggernaut. Florida's running backs, their wide receivers, they get the best tight end, and tight end's going to be a top 5 pick. And Kellen Mond had the best game I've seen him play. I thought Kellen Mond was fantastic. He was accurate. He was decisive. That was the most confident and decisive and accurate that I've seen Kellen Mond look as a Texas A&M Aggie. The defense isn't very good, but Jimbo, they started going really cracking. They started just basically cracking them every single play, saying, if they can't stop our run, we're going to keep running it. And Spiller just ran all over them. And I thought Jimbo's offensive line did a really good job against a not very good front for Florida, but they just pounded Florida and pounded them. And then Kellen Mond played smart. They got the turnovers they needed. Did you see Jimbo after the game?
I saw him hugging Mark Robinson. I mean, they were.
Yeah, I saw that. No,
you want to
no.
talk about an emotional win. Jimbo, they needed that. Jimbo needed that. We'll talk to Jimbo tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5. What time is it? 7:15, though? 7:15 tomorrow morning every week, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here on ESPN 97.5. But that you want to talk about, that is something that Jimbo needed, that program needed. That's a big win.
Mm-hmm.
A team that's playing as well as Florida was, as well thought of as Florida was. I mean, that's a really, really good football team. With Kyle Trask, Dell already had Kyle Trask winning the Heisman Trophy.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you kind of did.
Nah, that's a lie.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Pretty sure I've never said that before.
Didn't you say that last week? And Alan called in and said, shut up, Dell, Heisman talk.
Once again, what I said was some people were trying to compare this Florida team to last year's LSU
is the dumbest thing ever.
That's what they tried to do.
They are a really good offensive team. I think they've got very good skill position players. I'm okay with Kyle Trask. He's not very mobile. But the difference is LSU had a squad on defense. Florida didn't have a squad on offense. Look what Ole Miss did. Of course, Ole Miss is not an easy out.
No.
Whew. They were playing. They were running right there with Ole Miss.
You got what Nick said about his DC after the game?
Pete Golding. I don't have it right now.
He was, yeah. We got to get that in here. Nick B rating is defensive coordinator. But Lane Kiffin, you think Lane didn't want that? Boy, he came out with a game plan, and he was going for it. He didn't give a rat's ass. He was going for it whenever he needed to, or whenever he wanted to. Allen says, yeah, that's what Dell did.
That's a lie, did, once
Dell.
Again.
Yeah, you did, Dell.
No, I didn't.
You said he was the Heisman Trophy winner.
No,
already.
I didn't. I don't care about Heisman.
Hey, Allen just gave you a jab.
Allen must like you as a liar.
That must be my key for sight jab. Side jab, I visited with Hector and his guys the other day. We were up here recording videos. You know, one of the things when you first started building websites, it was all about desktops, and then it became about laptops, but now it's really about mobile devices. So if your website is not designed for the mobile device first, you are going to miss out on customers, because here's the problem. Your website's not going to look very professional at all if it's not initially designed for mobile devices, and they look at your device on a mobile device and it's not acclimated, it's going to make them think, okay, this person doesn't know what they're doing. They're not up to date. They're not current. I can't trust them to have the services that I need. With SiteJab, they make sure that your site is not only up to the standards, but beyond the standards of what people are used to with websites. They have all the technology. They have the best understanding of flow and user interface. They can integrate e-commerce to your website. Let SiteJab build a brand new website for you. It takes just 3 to 6 weeks for a brand new site. Just 3 to 6 weeks. That's all you need. And if you need to have it remodeled, they can do it even quicker. SiteJab.com. They're right here in Houston, been at work for 2 straight decades. SiteJab.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.